My name is Dawn Hausman, and I'm so glad to be here this morning. We have hopefully a lot of good things to talk about today. I've been working for the diocese for 3.5 years now, loving the work I get to do. I talk about vocations a lot, and it's a real great gift. And today we're going to talk about virtue awakening vocation. And so actually, I know Jen gave a beautiful prayer. I wanted to open up one more time with prayer in this song. We were born to be part of something holy. Lord, we know we're born to be a part of something holy. And we have restless hearts until they rest in you. Lord, so many people in Scripture came to you. The woman at the well was asking for water. And you said, Jesus, if you would have only asked for life-giving water, I would give it to you. You would never thirst again. And this young man, this rich young man who comes to you, Jesus, he comes and he's got questions. He's got a restless heart. He's been living the commandments, but there's more, and he's seeking more. Lord, help us to seek that more in our lives and help us to lead others to do the same. We ask this through our Lord Jesus. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I love that song. We're born to be a part of something holy. Bigger than you and I, bigger than all of us. God has designed us for great purpose. And sometimes we struggle as human beings with sin and just really trying to figure out what is it that I'm looking for. Really, it ends in our Lord Jesus. This rich young man in the Scriptures, you know him very well, right? He comes to Jesus. He's been living the commandments and he says, you know, Jesus, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And this man has actually been living some of the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not steal. And Jesus goes through this whole litany of the Ten Commandments. And the young man says, but I've done all that. And so he's kind of like proud he's done all that. He's good. And isn't that beautiful? Jesus tells us, you know, you got to start walking the way of the beauty of the commandments I've given you. But then he asks him a question. Will you give your possessions to the poor? You're a rich man. Will you give all your possessions to the poor and come to follow me? Now, Jesus just asked him something bigger than this man was ready to receive. And sad to say, this young man walked away and didn't take up that offer. I have a bag of stuff right here. When we're talking about virtue and vocations, one of the things is we have a lot of stuff that are our possessions, like that rich young man, and we want to follow Jesus, and we know there's this restless heart inside of us to follow our Lord. However, he sometimes asks us for some hard things in return. And some of these things, I'm a woman, so I'll pull out a shoe. Possessions, clothing, things we love to do, shopping, right? Jesus wants us to be detached from things. I have CDs, lots of noise. I know a lot of our young kids and even ourselves get so wrapped up with so many things in our lives, be it the TV, radio, always something in our ears. So I have music here. I have food. Food is good, of course. All these things are good, but the Lord wants us to be able to surrender all to him. And I actually have these couple from Bolivia. And it's representing marriage to me when sometimes we even struggle with saying, Lord, I know I desire marriage, but let me put this in your hands. And if you desire to give this to me, then I'll wait for your gift. So that's awaiting marriage. And I had to bring this today. Do we have some Michigan State fans? Okay, sorry, go Green. That was a rough game last night. But, you know, we can give applause to Ohio State. So here's sports that can be. So here's just my stuff. Now I want you to all think of your own stuff too. What do you have? I mean, these are just some things that can represent. I mean, we can put other things up here and even sinful things, like such as things like pornography or the abuse of alcohol. So if we're really abusing that gift of God of alcohol, we can put that up here too, right? We've got all these things. Now, Jesus doesn't want us to say, oh, those things are all bad, let's just throw them out. But he wants to say, Dawn, all of you, will you give them all to me? Alex, will you put up that picture of Mary? So this is a woman who I admire very much. You know, one of the few first words in the scripture when that angel came to her, Mary, she wrestled with the Lord and saying, how is this going to be possible, Lord? But at the end of that conversation, she did say, be it done unto me according to your word, according to your will, Lord. This woman shows us that Marian posture, that all this stuff that we want or have or desire in our hearts, they're all good. But we need to learn detachment from them in a way that we can say, Lord, here's all these things. Do with them what you will. Do with them what you will, Lord. When we're thinking of all the things that kind of walk in our lives that cramp us up and stop us from following the Lord. I know Deacon and Mass said something about that too. All the things that actually get in our way sometimes, they can be even good things sometimes, get in the way of following the Lord. We have to once again kind of offer that offering. Lord, I want to live a virtuous life. I want to learn what it takes for me to be a saint, for you to be a saint. Help me live that and help me put my stuff at your feet. And I want you to do with it what you will. The one way we can do this is to really know that God loves us. There's a beautiful song. None of us have the ability to surrender all the things that we're attached to unless it is for love. Unless we know it's a lover who is calling us to do that. You know, when we know our mom and dad loves us so much and they ask us to clean our room, sometimes we do it out of like, oh, fine, I'll clean my room, you know, because I'm doing my duty. And other times, because we honor and respect our parents so much, we clean our room, and slowly but surely, over time, God actually might have us end up desiring to clean our rooms for ourselves. But really, out of love for our parents, we might say, yes, Mom and Dad, I want to keep a clean room for you, right? There's this song that goes, it's gotta be more like falling in love than something to believe in. More like losing my heart than giving my allegiance. And this young man talks about how you can give me rules, but I'll break them. You can give me things to do, but I'll do the other thing. Until it becomes more like falling in love. And that is our journey with the Lord. Falling in love with him enough to say, Lord, here's the heart's desires that I have, but I will lay them all down to follow you. Some of the passages this week in Scripture in our Mass, man, they were some tough ones. Like, one of them was, hate your father and mother. If you don't hate your father and mother and sister and brother, then you're not worthy to be my disciple. And that sounds so harsh at first. And the Lord doesn't want us to, like, not have our parents and friends and family in our lives, but he wants us to have this beautiful, radical Marian detachment, that we might give everything to follow him, and no matter what, we lay our desires down at his feet and say, do with them what you will, Lord. This is the posture first for vocation and discipleship and walking with our Lord. In my life, I want to tell you a little bit of my story. I've been discerning a vocation called consecrated virginity a while in my life. However, let me first ask you a question. How many of you, when you were younger, or even now, maybe you haven't even asked this question yet, how many of you have asked the Lord, Lord, what do you want of my life? How many have asked that question? Okay, one, couple, good. What do you want of my, isn't that a scary question? I know that's a really scary question for me. Why is it so scary? Don't we love to have control of our own life? Like, okay, I like doing this, so I'm gonna do this, and I'm gonna make this happen in my life. It is so scary to say, I trust you to have my desires and to actually ask you what you want of my life. So many of us, and I know when I meet the youth in our schools and in our parishes, so many of us fear asking God that question, because some say, oh, well, as soon as I ask God that question, he's going to be like, well, I'm calling you to be a priest, and I'm calling you to be a religious, and I'm calling you to do this or that. And really, that's not always true, right? God wants us to be very open with him to say, Lord, I know that you made me, so I know, therefore, you hold the deepest desires of my heart, and you want to fulfill them. When I was in high school, I did not ask this question to the Lord. I said, Lord, I knew he was in my life. I said, Lord, you know, thank you for being in my life. Thank you for forgiving me over and over again when I make the mistakes that I do. And I did make a lot of mistakes in high school, and of course I still do today, but hopefully we're growing from that. When I was in high school, I actually had a very elementary way of seeing the Lord in my life. I always thought of him being in my life, but it was Sunday Mass that I went to, and I called him like my back burner God. You know, I know you're in my life, Lord. I know you're kind of like looking out for me, but to actually invite you to be in the center of my life, I'm not ready for that yet. I'm too scared of that. I don't know you enough. I don't trust you enough. I walked through high school, and I kind of was living quite a superficial life, and making some mistakes, going to some parties, just getting in some trouble in my life. And it was towards the end of my time in high school when I really started having a restless heart, like that rich young man, a restless heart to ask for more. Lord, is there something more to life? Because right now, so far, I've been living for myself and making my own decisions and totally not asking you at all what you think of what I should do, what you actually are asking me. When I got to college, I eventually got to Michigan State, and it was there that vocation really began to grow in my heart. Somehow the Lord really was making me restless, and he was moving me to draw closer to him. I actually ended up going to the student center, St. John's Student Center in East Lansing, where I met some of the greatest friends that I still have in my life today. And during that time, he really opened my heart to want what he wanted. I said, Lord, I think I'm called to like start knowing you more. So I started going to daily mass, and we had these student masses that were awesome. And then we had each other like as students together in the masses and all these awesome student retreats. But then I ended up finding myself even desiring, on the days that I couldn't make the student masses because of my school schedule, I would get up at 6:30 a.m. I would go to 6:30 a.m. mass at St. Thomas Aquinas when I couldn't make the other masses. And it was so cool when I realized, wow, I love you, Lord. I want to grow closer to you. That was the first time in my life that I actually cared to go to daily mass, to get to know him more, to explore the faith. And he was becoming a God that wasn't just this far-off God who, you know, I'm not asking about any questions in my life. But I said, Lord, I want you to reign in my life, in my heart. And at this point in my life, it was finally the time where God had enough fertile ground in my life to say, Dawn, I want you to start thinking about a really important thing in your life. I want you to start thinking about the vocational call that I have for you. And what came about that brought about that was my friend named Elizabeth. She came to me, and by this time we were good friends at Michigan State, and she said, Dawn, have you discerned your vocation? And I'm like, well, what do you mean? You know, I'm assuming I'm getting married, if that's what you mean. And she's like, well, you know, any good Catholic isn't just gonna assume that they're called to something, but they're gonna ask the Lord. Have you asked the Lord if he's calling you to marriage? Or maybe he's not. Maybe he's calling you to religious life or some form of consecrated life. Have you asked him? She really challenged me. And it was the first time in my life where someone actually challenged me in that particular way. My parents didn't, the catechist didn't in high school. And finally someone was asking me, Dawn, don't just assume and walk through life like that. And it was interesting, because when I was in high school, I actually dated. And I dated a couple really good guys, and they were actually working on helping me get closer to the Lord. One was through music. I was in a little Christian band for some part of my high school years. And then another was just very into the scriptures. And so he was leading me to Christ through scripture. And just his goodness, he was just genuinely good. But yet, when I was with these men, I thought that there was something wrong with me. I said, Lord, why don't I love them in a way that, like, you know, I feel called to walk towards marriage? Because definitely two of them were really desiring to walk towards marriage with me. And I was just kept thinking, I just don't think it's Mr. Right. And so I was almost just waiting for that Mr. Right to come in my life. And then when my friend Elizabeth said, Dawn, you should really discern your vocation. At this point in my life, I hadn't been dating for a while, and I thought, you know what, you're right, I should give time for God. So in one of those daily masses, right around that time, I was at 6:30 a.m. mass, and there was this little prayer group that would pray even more after mass together. They would pray the Liturgy of the Hours. And I went and joined them, and I said, can I join you one morning? And this woman there was one of the women who were there, was named Judith Stegman. And she introduced herself as a consecrated virgin. That was the first time in my life I've heard that. How many of you have heard of that vocation? Do you know that? Okay, good, some of you know. And I was like, really, you're a consecrated virgin, what is that? And she's like, you know, well, it's kind of like being married to the Lord like a sister, but living in the midst of the world and not in a religious community, right? And this one was an accountant, and she was doing accounting work, but her witness to the world was her gift of being a bride of Christ and praying for the church and really showing the world what's to come. And in my time with her, I said, well, I would like to know a little bit more about this vocation. She ended up having a discernment group at her house, which I joined. There were a bunch of college women like me, and we all went to her house and we were asking bigger questions about life. What is life about? You know, what is God asking of us? By the time I was graduating Michigan State, I was getting my degree in social work, and I was feeling very drawn to missionary life. And I ended up going to Colorado Springs, where I served with the Holy Cross Associates. It's kind of like the Jesuit Volunteer Corps. They have national and international services. And so this group of women and I, there were five of us who lived together, and the pillars of our community were prayer, service, so we were all serving the poor and those in need throughout Colorado Springs in some way. Simple living was a part of our life, and community. So in a sense, we were almost getting a little bit of a taste of what it would be like to live in religious life, a little bit. And that was a glorious year. And during that year, what I said to the Lord was, Lord, I give you this year. I know I'm called to serve your people, but I also have another motive for coming out here. I want to give you a year where you can lead me to a religious calling, if that's so of your will. Because during this year, I'm not supposed to date, and that was gonna be a challenge for me. I was like, wow, okay, I have to give up a year for sure of if a man comes into my life to not date him. So I said, Lord, this is your opportunity if you're calling me to yourself. You got a year. And in my heart right now, I think, you know, he probably laughed at that, and but he delighted in that. And you know, those little bits of room that we give him, he delights in. He delights in so much. So never think that your little offerings, however great or small they are, aren't just glorious before the Lord. And so that was my gift to the Lord, and he worked on my heart that year, and he was growing me. At the end of that year, I still felt called to missionary life, and I ended up going to Bolivia, where I served for 2.5 years with the Salesian sisters. And I was with them and traveling around the country with another friend of mine who was a missionary, and we were teaching chastity to teenagers. So we were talking about all these things of sexuality and chastity, and in the midst of that, I was living with the sisters and really very in awe of their lives. I was just very much inspired by seeing their way that they just gave themselves to God and to his people just so generously. And I was like, Lord, they're so beautiful. And I put myself there in the midst of the sisters so I could once again have God have a better opportunity to call me to religious life if he was going to. And by the end of those 2 years, I was actually not at home yet, but still with a restless heart. So there was a theme in my life of restlessness. Lord, I don't know what this is, and I'm trying to discern. Open my heart to your will. I ended up coming back to the United States, and I went to Washington, D.C., where I studied at the John Paul II Institute, and I was really drawn to the theology of the body. The theology of the body of John Paul II just really inspired me, and I wanted to study more about it. And so I went to this institute, and while I was there, sure enough, guess who I met 1 month in? Another consecrated virgin. Yet this time, she was much younger, and she was my age, and she just was consecrated 2 months. And let me tell you, the joy that she exuberated, she was just filled with the life of God. And you could tell that it was like you just met someone who married their lover. She just was just radiating with love. And I was like, Lord, whatever she has, I want to know more about, because I want that. And she became a mentor of mine for 2 years when I was in Washington, D.C., along with a good priest friend of mine. And poor both of them, because they were on a spiritual roller coaster with me. I was finally at a point where I was able to hear more of the Lord, what the Lord wanted, and I was really thinking it might be consecrated virginity that he might be calling me to. But I was completely scared. because I knew what it was going to cost me. And I had all, it was kind of like having these things here, like I had this, the married couple. And let me tell you, I had such a grasp on marriage that it was kind of one of those things that God was like, you know, will you hate father and mother? He was like, Dawn, will you hate, or at least let go of the idea of marriage for your life? Will you at least put it there on the altar for me? And I will do with it what I will. And for the longest time, I could not do that. I was so desiring to have a companion in my life to walk with me, to be maybe a missionary with me, to do a lot of beautiful things with me. And I was so frightened what he might be asking me, to be a bride in the world, Lord, of you? Are you going to take care of me if I get lonely? What happens if I get sick or I don't have money? Are you going to be there for me like a spouse would? Are you going to hold me at night when I'm going to bed? You know, what about children? You know, not having children? That these were some crucial things of my heart that I was wrestling with. And like Mary, when she was like, how is this going to be possible? I was thinking, how is this going to be possible with those desires that I have, Lord? And sure enough, over time, the Lord said, trust me. I'm going to fulfill those desires, but not in the way that you are thinking. Open your heart up to me like Mary and be ready for surprise. I don't know if any or all of you, hopefully most of you or all of you, have had an experience of surrendering such beautiful things in life and following the Lord. There is such freedom in that. When I was at my last year in DC, and there was a certain point that I was finally able to say, Lord, I was standing in my room praying, and I was like, Lord, you really are calling me to be your bride in the midst of the world. You really are calling me to be a consecrated virgin, aren't you? And it was like I finally received it for the first time, and it was like a flood of the Holy Spirit that came upon me. I felt so alive. I have never felt so alive in my life. It was like somebody introduced me to myself. It was crazy. It was like, hi, my name is Dawn. And it was like, God is so gentle with us, because he doesn't just recklessly say, I'm taking this, you know? He waits for each of us to surrender, to in freedom, in our freedom, to lay down those things. You know, that rich young man, he had a lot of possessions, and you could tell he had a restless heart. He was living the commandments. He was following the Lord's ways and the law. But he was still really holding on to something, wasn't he? Even though he had a restless heart, he could not lay that down before the Lord. And that is where freedom busts into our hearts and just takes us to a new place. That moment in college, I was like so in love with the Lord, and I was so ready to do anything. It was like I was filled with such peace, joy, and love. God could have literally asked me to die or to do anything for him, and I would have done it. I felt so ready to do anything. It was kind of like Mary right after she got this experience with the Lord. What was her first thing that she did? Ran off to mission to Elizabeth, right? Not worrying about herself, ran right to Elizabeth, who was pregnant, right? What a beautiful thing. God sends us to mission, you know? And so this moment in my life, when I finally received that, granted, there are many times where fears have come in my life again, and it's like a battle. But there's always this deeper peace that I know this ride is worth it. And by the time I graduated John Paul II Institute, I knew it was time. I was ready to petition. I went home to Michigan, and I ended up, as soon as I got this job as a vocation director, I petitioned Bishop Roboyer. And I've been awaiting his response. He's in prayer, and I'm in prayer about this, but the Lord has only stretched my heart in this journey all the more. But it really took a lot out of me. It takes a lot out of me. It takes a dying to myself. And realizing that, wow, when I'm not in control and when I let God be in control and have his way, he will take us to such profound mountaintops. that we won't want to go on our own path anymore, that we'll want to surrender it all and say, Lord, where do you want me? This posture of Mary, this do it unto me, Lord, whatever you want, is so important for vocational journeys. And Mary's last words in scriptures, I don't know, do you remember her last words? The last words that she has in scriptures was actually at the wedding feast when they ran out of wine. And she said to the servants, after she asked Jesus to perform this miracle, to bring more wine, right? She turns to the servants and she says, do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. And because they did that, abundance came. The Holy Spirit, inebriation of the wine of God came to us. It's a beautiful journey. When I talk to the youth about vocations, and I just say, you know, if you can do one thing throughout your life is to just continually have your own prayer every day getting up, Lord, have your way with me. Whatever it is, whatever the little task or the big task or vocation down the road, have your way with me, Lord. You will begin to hear him. I think of if we have a lot of noise in our lives, it's so hard to hear the voice of God if we don't take time to learn who he is and to hear him. It's kind of like trying to hear your best friend's voice in a big crowd. The more you know that friend, the more you know the sound of their voice. They could be across the room and you could hear them. And to help the youth know the voice of the Lord, to help them have an attentive ear, to be awake, be awake. So in my journey, I brought these things. Has anybody seen one of these? This is actually a little lamp that the wise virgins and the unwise virgins had. In the ancient times, when Jesus talked in scriptures about there were 10 virgins who were waiting for their bridegroom to return, to come for them, and they had the lamps lit, and some of them had extra oil, right? So I bring this here representing my journey of weight, because part of the journey of vocations in anything in life that's of God is the waiting. So I might have had the moment in my life where I said, Lord, I really do now trust you and believe that you're calling me to be your bride, and it is awesome. And I do know your love deeper than I ever have before. But now it's the hard part in my life? Waiting. Making sure I have a flask of oil that only God can provide to help me wait on my vocation, because I'm not there yet. And it's not up to me. It is a gift. So I wait. So that's a little bit of my journey. I know we probably are getting close to the end, but I want to show a couple slides. Will you go to that presentation, Alex? So in building a culture of vocations, just want to give a couple. I'm not going to go through all these slides, so don't worry about reading everything. We'll just talk about a few things. When it comes to the walk of vocation, Jen Brown is going to talk a lot about discipleship next month, so I don't want to take away from her presentation. The foundation of us all is called baptism. That is our first and foremost call that all of us, till the day we die, we will be living, God willing. And it's like that young man, can you surrender everything and follow Christ? Come and follow me. You know, it takes us walking with the Lord, surrendering. Oops, where'd I go? There it goes. Surrendering it all and following him. Can you love me and love your neighbor? And so from the grace of our baptism, do other vocational calls come, such as marriage, priesthood, forms of consecrated life? And I wanted to just kind of give a difference of how it says here, there's one that's permanent and there's one that's temporary. When we're talking about calls, you can hear some people say, you know, I'm called to be a firefighter. I'm called to be a teacher. I'm called to be a religious sister. We kind of use the word called in many ways. And when Father John Linden and I talk about vocations and we go around talking about vocations, we say to the kids, we're like, I don't doubt that God could be calling you to be a teacher or a firefighter or a doctor or a garbage collector one day. However, that is a small V calling. And a big V calling takes the permanency of your life. And so when we have callings to do certain ministries, maybe be a missionary for some years, maybe be a teacher for some years, maybe you'll be a doctor. But we talk about those being a small V vocation, and then the big V being the call that God will call us to, such as marriage, priesthood, religious life, forms of consecrated life, where your whole life takes up this reality. You can't ever, the priest can't ever take the hat off of being a priest, right? So everywhere he goes, he lives his life as a priest. So does the husband and a father live that life. So just wanted to touch base about how God made us. You know, our destiny is actually to be in love with God for all eternity. The good news of the gospel, of Jesus coming to wed himself to humanity. So this is where he did this on the cross, right? He wed himself, divinity, to humanity here. This is where Jesus said, come and receive the wedding banquet. I know we're talking about celebrating the church today, the dedication of the church. We are the church, all of us. That Holy Spirit resides in us, and hopefully in the kingdom, we will be that communion of saints together. And Jesus is saying, come and follow me. And in the beginning of scriptures, we all know that we're talking about a love story throughout scripture. And it begins with the love story of Adam and Eve, but it doesn't end there. It ends with the love story of Jesus marrying his church. As unfaithful as we may be, he comes to wed himself to us. And this is the good news of the gospel, when we will all be in heaven loving, you know, the love life that we have on earth, when we love our parents, we love our friends, we love our married couples, right? The married couples love each other in our marriages. That isn't the end, right? That is just a taste and glimpse of God's gift to us in heaven. And so one way in the vocation of marriage, this is lived out. A man and a woman, A man and a woman, Jesus said, a man and a woman come together. The two become one flesh. And he, in the beginning, he told us, be fruitful and multiply. This is the living icon image of God as Trinity in heaven, right? The man and woman who loves each other, who daily dies for each other and their family. This is beautiful. My mom and dad, there was one day where I was with them. I was in college at the time. And I just knew their love so much. And not only for me, but for each other. And there was one day I came home from college and I was standing in the living room and we had been talking and they came and embraced me and each other. And it was like in that moment, God gave me a little taste of the beauty of his love. I felt like I was wrapped in the warmth of that love that is undying, that is God, that faithful love of God. And married life is supposed to show us that. How beautiful. We have so many beautiful families I've seen in this church today. And I'm sure each married couple will say, it is certainly a dying to self, right? A true living out of Jesus' gift of himself, that gift that is total, that gift that is free, faithful, and fruitful. This is hard, but it's beautiful. As well as in the vocation of consecrated life. So I'm clumping all the consecrated life vocations together, and that includes priesthood and being religious sisters, consecrated virgins, sometimes those who might have taken private vows to belong to Christ, to surrender your gift of self to him forever. these people are a witness to us of what's to come. That marriage with God, and that it's worth dying for. You know, I kind of doubted God's journey with me with this. That time when I had that great experience in college and I was overwhelmed with his love and I knew he was going to take care of me, those times can come and go, right? And then times of fear can come again. But when God awakens in me his love again, there was one time where I said, Lord, please give me a sign. Show me that you're going to love me like a spouse would. Or, you know, help me know your presence. And sure enough, I was in bed praying at night to him, and it was like I felt hands upon my back. It was almost like I actually felt a presence of God say, I'm with you. I'm with you. Trust in my love. I am the giver of love, all love that exists. Trust in my love. So the Lord over time helps us trust in that love. And these people who represent this for us, they're living a living image of what's to come, that end goal of marrying God is worth dying for, worth giving your life for all the days of your life. And I just wanted to reiterate how they both are signs of what Jesus did for us, these vocations. There's a beautiful song. It goes, this is what we're here for, to show the world how you love it. This is what we're made for, to lay it all down like you did. And that's the kind of part of the chorus talking about, Lord, we are here to be an icon of you, to live the love that you lived. To live this love, this love that is ever dying for each other in good times and bad, in sickness and in health. We're made for this kind of love. And he showed us, Jesus showed us that way. At this point, would you put that video up there? We'll go back to that screen in a second. I want to show you a video of some people living out these vocations if you haven't seen. How many of you have seen the vocation video for the diocese yet that we made? Okay, good. Well, this will be new.
Each and every one of us has a mission, and that is our vocation.
We are a creature of a creator who made us and designed us with a plan and a purpose. This is something that will bring the greatest joy to our heart, is actually fulfilling what the Lord has in store for us.
The simplest definition for vocation is to be called.
The basics of a vocation is to be called and to not be the originator of the call.
Vocation in life is a journey. God has called us to this journey, and ultimately he has called us to him.
Love wants to be a total gift, to give yourself away and to not be able to take yourself back.
When we respond to the vocation, to his call, that will be where we'll be the most fulfilled.
When I would think of discernment, mainly it is a listening.
Discernment begins when I truly seek to do God's will, and more than that, when I seek to make his will my own.
Well, I think it started in college for me, when I really started to realize that God needed to be a part of my vocation discernment. I did discern the religious life, but I really felt called to marriage. When I first met Ben, from the start, it really felt like that was who God was leading me to be with.
I kind of just prayed about it a lot, asked God to show me what he was calling me to, and it was shortly after that I met my wife at college. There was really no longer a question in my heart of what he was calling me to.
When you are called to the married life, your vocation is to to find what you're called to love in life and to find someone who you can love that with.
I'm a religious sister of mercy. I entered in fall of 2001. Our charism is mercy, and predominantly our sisters are in healthcare and education. So we have sisters who are physicians, sisters who are social workers, and then sisters who are teachers on many different levels. Summer and fall going into graduation, I really started to pray. And then I got involved in the Newman Center. I met my friend Lucy, who was discerning, was looking at the Religious Sisters of Mercy, and she was going to visit our convent in Minnesota. And she said, just come with me. I said, okay. And it was just very beautiful, very prayerful experience with them. Just totally different from anything that I had imagined. But I just got the sense from the Lord that He kept leading me back to them. And then the other was that I felt so much at peace when I was praying with them. That there was a deep peace that I couldn't explain. That was very different from anything I'd experienced before. In a nutshell, it would be just really the hand of God in so many ways, making things possible.
Many people don't realize this, but there are other vocations besides being a priest or a religious or a mother or father, and those are called consecrated vocations in the world. And there are people within our midst living out a humble gift of themselves, even if no one else knows about it except God and them.
It's kind of unique. Not many people know of this vocation. It's different than being a religious sister. There are men and women who live consecrated to Christ, being espoused to Him in the midst of the world. Some of them live as missionaries, teachers, accountants, really whatever ministries or careers that the Lord might call them to do. But their real gift to the world is their being espoused to Christ, their witness to the kingdom of God, living out virginity and celibacy. They are a prayer for the church and with the church. St. Agnes, St. Catherine of Siena, as well as St. Cecilia, many of the early saints, before there were even religious orders, many of these women, they knew they were meant to be brides of Christ. They gave their virginity to the Lord from a young age and said, "Yes, Lord, I will be your bride."
Priesthood ultimately is a call from our beloved, who is Jesus, to serve in His person, because it's all about love. I grew up in a normal Catholic home. I went to church every Sunday, but I wasn't particularly religious. And I was very much involved with sports in high school, 4 years of baseball, 4 years of football. Was dating all throughout high school, never even had a thought toward the priesthood. I was at a conference and had a profound encounter with God in which I understood myself to be completely loved and completely forgiven. And that experience changed the way I viewed reality. And I started studying scripture, theology, and philosophy. And I was doing all this stuff while I was at Grand Valley State University. And I was doing this more than I was studying my engineering homework or my physics or my calculus. I found myself drawn to proclaiming the truth about God. And I started asking the question, what do you want me to do with my life? Rather than saying, okay, God, this is what I want, and I hope that you bless it. I had never considered becoming a priest, and yet when I started asking that question, the desire for the priesthood began to grow. Everyone has a vocation to love, and everyone is called to love. But the question is, how is God calling you to love? How is God calling you to give yourself away as a gift?
The Lord said He came to give us life to the fullest. Do not be afraid to ask Him what He wants of you.
Be generous with God. He was generous with you in creating you. Be generous with God in saying, God, my life belongs to you.
If we live out what the Lord's made us for, we will set the world ablaze.
God is touching people's lives, using you as an instrument, and there's no greater honor than that.
Will I trust? Will I believe? Will I open? Will I do the really countercultural thing, which is to open myself to grace? Because that's when things really happen.
God has already claimed us. All we need to do is claim him.
Pretty good? We had a lot of fun making that for the diocese. Try to show the joy of vocation. One of the things, and since we have so many parents and people in the room who are more like adults, I was just thinking, you know, one way that my parents have helped me is that they have not only lived their vocation well, that was the greatest help that they could possibly give me, but they also began to journey with me in discernment. At the beginning, they weren't so. And they struggled. And my mom, she was a chaplain at the hospital, St. Joe's Mercy Hospital in Ann Arbor. And I went over there a couple times with lunch to meet one of her doctors, her new doctor friends. She was trying to still work at getting me to the vocation of marriage for a while. And it hurt me a lot. And so there was a point in her life, my mom and dad and family have had to discern too. You know, I couldn't just recklessly, you know, say, I'm going to marry the Lord and, you know, whatever you want. But I wanted them to journey with me, too. I wanted my brother to be on page, my sister. So the beauty of walking with, if we can help our youth, first off, have that posture that's Marian, that openness. And then second off, walk with them on the journey, trusting in God's will for them. And in a special way, don't parents also have to have a detachment for their kids as well from marriage and other things that they might want in life for their children, that we walk with our children in a posture of detachment with and for them, how important that is. So I'm just going to, since this is at the end here, I just wanted to, the family is the domestic church, and this is why you're here with me today. To build the domestic church, and is the first, we say, the first convent or seminary, too. It begins with you, and then begins with all of us, the body of Christ, helping each other get to vocation, like I know many people did in my journey help me. And I just wanted to get to one last screen, teaching our children the way of prayer, and to actually say, be not afraid. Be not afraid of God's will for you. He invites us into his plan. He doesn't crush us. So here's some practical things. Prayer and silence. Help each other learn to have silence before our Lord. There's nothing that can replace silence and the sacraments. Reading scripture. Scripture popped out to me, and there was a passage that said from Isaiah 62, like a young man marries a virgin, so shall your builder marry you. And that scripture popped out in my face like as if Jesus was speaking the words audibly to me. It was crazy. So we hear God through the scriptures on what things that he's asking us of our lives. Certainly this way of virtue, the way of saying, okay, I got these things, Lord. What are the things up here that might not be so good, that might be actually sin that we need to get out of our lives? What are those things? I got to be honest with my heart and God and put them on the altar. And then also talking with wise people, mentors. We really need good mentors in our lives to talk through what God might be asking of us. Devotions to the saints. Man, I've called upon St. Monica, St. Augustine, St. Catherine of Siena, so many good saints, and learned about their life. And we can see the beauty of some of us desiring some ways of certain saints' lives. It's good for us to know the saints and to pray with the saints for our journeys and vocations. And then charity. I know I went on mission life. Not everybody's called to run overseas and be on mission, but learning how to be gift of yourself. All vocations, from the baptismal call till marriage and consecrated life, they all take this Christ form, learning how to die to ourselves that we might have life and the rest of the world might have life. Some people think this is pretty sad and morbid idea, but really, this is the way to freedom and love. And if anybody's ever gone to a soup kitchen or served a friend or family member, in ways that you've given a gift of yourself, you know that feeling of that gift of self that we're all called to. Yeah, I just want to offer a prayer that's from St. Ignatius. Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all that I have and call my own. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me. Amen. Thank you.